Whatever you're into, the Honda Dream Garage sales event has got great deals for just about everything. Now go! You've got a garage to fill, and we've got more innovations to unleash.
During the Dream Garage sales event, get 0.9% APR financing for well-qualified buyers on a 2015 Civic, Accord, and Pilot.
Visit your local North Country Honda dealer or online at northcountryhondadealers.com.
See your local dealer for financing details.
Do you like to save money? Then you'll like Bourne's Energy. Do you like to be energy efficient while using less heating fuel? Then you'll like Bourne's Energy. Do you like great customer and technical service? Then you'll like Bourne's Energy. Do you like a company committed to local food shelves, cancer networks, the United Way, local arts, environmental efforts, and community causes? Then you'll like Bourne's Energy. Bourne's Energy, fueling the future. And you can like us on Facebook, too.
Bourne's Energy. Call Bourne's Energy.
Looking for a loan for your Vermont business, childcare, or nonprofit organization? Look at the Vermont Community Loan Fund. Because at the Vermont Community Loan Fund, we lend to Vermont businesses and nonprofits, even if the bank says you're not quite ready for a loan. At the Vermont Community Loan Fund, we focus on people, not profits. We'll work closely with you before and after you get your loan to make sure you get what you need to succeed. The Vermont Community Loan Fund makes loans to early stage companies and established businesses ready to take the next step. We lend to farms and food producers, high-tech businesses, manufacturers, retailers, childcare businesses, affordable housing developers, service providers, and other nonprofit organizations. We make loans to Vermonters doing business right here at home and around the world. So if you're looking for financing to help your growing business, look at the Vermont Community Loan Fund. Visit us online at investinvermont.org. That's investinvermont.org.
All right, we're back broadcasting live this morning at the State House. Let me take a moment of your time to remind you about our good friends at Jet Service Envelope right up the road in South Barry. That's where you get all of your printing done. Maybe you have some legislation you want to get printed up. They could do that for you. They also could do your memoirs, a nice trifold brochure for your business. And, of course, you need some new letterhead and envelopes as well. Call them at 229-9335. And they're on the web at jetservice-envelope.com. Joining us right now, let's give a nice warm Radio Vermont welcome this morning to Senator Diane Snelling of Chittenden County. She's on the Senate Appropriations Committee. Must be fun being on the Appropriations Committee these days, huh?
Well, I'm glad I've had enough time in the past to understand some of what's going on at the moment.
How deep is this problem, and to what extent do you think the public really has got a grasp here on how significant this is?
I think it's very hard from the outside, even within the legislature, from the outside of the Appropriations Committees, to understand what's going on.
Really?
I do, yeah. I mean, I understand that people see it in the impact of taxes and the balance of services that they may or may not receive, but to see the moving parts is very difficult.
Tell me how this year is different.
This year is different because we're trying to resolve the issue of spending beyond revenues. In other words, we've been spending more than we were receiving in revenues from taxes and fees.
Okay.
And a number of things in the economy in general have impacted that. So you can't say that's the only reason. But I really believe we've got to solve this over a number of years. And to me, it's longer than a two-year cycle. You've got to get into a 3 to 5 year view and hold ourselves as a state and as a legislature to a very disciplined plan of spending, to get back to we're even, we're balanced. And I think that's the best thing we could do for the economy, would be to say we don't need to keep raising exorbitant taxes because we figured out how to do what is a priority for Vermonters within the dollars we have.
Mm-hmm. How do you do that? How do you deal with the short term if you're really dealing with something that's a longer term problem like that?
Well, longer term lets you phase things out and phase things in. If you want to consolidate certain activities, if you want to look seriously at how many people you need to do certain activities, you can find a lot of more effective ways to do things over a period of time. That lets you reduce the base. instead of just nibbling around the edges.
Okay. But in the next, what do you do? That sounds like something that in 3 to 5 years might make the budget much easier to deal with. But what do you do? What do you do in the next 24
right now
months?
You cut as much as you can with knowing what you're trying to achieve. And I think that's one of the biggest things is what are our priorities? What do we think government should fund? And what's the best way to do that? And once you have your priorities, you develop a plan that stays on track. And I think one of the hardest things about being a legislator is how often the process gets distracted by gimmicks. And you know, it's funny that having been in the legislature for as long as I have, to only start realizing how that happens, which is people here want something that's politically palatable. There's nothing politically palatable about doing the right thing in this circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you still have to do it. And then the question is, how do I persuade enough of my colleagues that that's the answer to, you know, that's the way to approach it. It's not the answer. It's the way to approach it. And as you know, I've been working for years trying to make the system be more accountable. Yeah. And I think that's a big piece of this, too, is we've got to truly be accountable to people. We can't just promise things we can't deliver.
Well, this whole idea that you were really promoting, this idea of results-based accountability, how's that doing?
It's excellent. It's so exciting because I will tell you, the administration, through the direction of the Chief Performance Officer, Sue Zeller, is going gangbusters in many, many departments, and especially in human services, but in all agencies to some extent, that they are now working as, you know, the staff in the field, working with their partners and talking about performance results, you know, which is very exciting because if once we're all talking the same language, we're communicating with the nonprofits who are community partners. We're communicating with the administration and starting to inform the legislature within a system that we all understand what it's trying to get at is how do we learn more about what we really get for mm-hmm. the money we pay.
Sounds like there's some positive results. Is this a case where they're not being reported because it's good news, or why? What? How is this not being communicated to the public?
I'm not sure that it isn't, but it's not. It's like, it's not exciting to people who aren't in the process as much, because it's kind of like, yeah, well, you're all communicating and sharing knowledge, and you're doing much better. But I think there is a lot of really good news. We just heard a presentation in.
It sounds like there's good news. I'm wondering why that good news hasn't been communicated out.
I don't think it's as much fun for the media to report good news. And especially when we have people telling us all the time we're not accountable. It would be kind of a change in reporting to say, oh, well, actually, there is good accountability process going on.
Mm-hmm. Is there a way to come up with, like, a list of where, you know, this has actually helped and come to pass?
Sure. I was just starting to say heard about a system, it's not a system, it's a program, Integrated Family Services, which is doing exactly what I've always hoped we could do in government, which is start responding to the person and not putting people in categories, which government loves to do. We mm-hmm. love to create categories and then try to fund categories instead of response to individuals. And what they've done is they're really working towards the whole family, thinking of children as part of a family and every family member, and coordinating the funding that makes that possible. And so much of it is about getting the funding in the right place, because there's so many different strings on where we get dollars from, that you have to put dollars together with other dollars in order to say, well, I'm going to take care of all of these things for you and not send you to 33 different places.
Right, right.
Or make you fight through the bureaucratic paperwork.
Mm-hmm. Are there any of these cuts that are being talked about that just make no sense to you? That
there are things that were cut that have nothing whatsoever to do with the costs. You know, they're not cost drivers. And I don't understand that kind of approach, which is why I say you got to figure out what your priorities are. If your priorities really are a balanced budget, then you got to look seriously at the cost drivers, which are healthcare, global commitment, which many people seem to think is free money. But even if it's a high match, it's money that we're putting in place. And we keep finding more and more categories to use global commitment. And if you look at that spending, it's now approximately a third of our entire budget.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about Medicaid spending.
Well, global commitment is Medicaid and long-term care, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, it's all of the issues. And you know, the other one-third is education, K through 12. And the remaining third is pretty much everything else. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't seem like a good balance.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right now I'm working on the issue of water quality statewide, and obviously Lake Champlain is a big emphasis, but we spend less than, I think, 1.5% of the dollars on natural resources. They've been chronically underfunded as an agency, as has agriculture. And we're looking at how to put together a program of urgency and at the same time be very thoughtful about what we're doing so we don't end up in a situation where somehow we create this big pile of money and it gets spent, and again, what did we get for it? I just left committee and we were talking about something that's dear to my heart, which is clear jurisdiction. And sometime back in the early 90s, jurisdiction over water was bifurcated between ANR and agriculture. And traditionally, the agency has been slow to enforce water quality on farms. And we're trying, in some sense, to compensate for that, as we also understand more and more how much stormwater in general on roads and impervious surfaces is a large contributor as well. So, I mean, what we're trying to say is, holistically, what are all the actions we can take that improve water quality?
Mm-hmm. How confident are you feeling that this bill is going to actually accomplish a control or reduction in pollution?
Well, I've been really strongly encouraging the agencies, and there are really three agencies: Agency of Transportation, Agency of Agriculture, Food and Markets, and Agency of Natural Resources, that are going to cooperate to make this happen. And I'm worried about that cooperation because it isn't really an MOU yet, where there's a clear accountability, which is why I'm concerned about what was proposed as far as a clean water fund with a clean water board, because that takes the accountability for spending that money away. Mm-hmm. We have no way to track anybody back as being responsible. So, we're going to be doing a lot of things, and I am very concerned about whether they will actually result in cleaner water.
Mm-hmm. So you sort of need one quarterback instead of three.
Right. Well, yes and no. I mean, you need each of those agencies to have clear accountability, and that would go a long way. And part of it is, I just don't want to leave it up to they're going to cooperate. I'd like a little more boundaries on it. But it's exciting to be hearing. We've been hearing about some pretty innovative practices, and I really do think part of what we need to do is open our eyes to what are the best solutions of technology and best practices that work, because there are some other places and people that are really investigating things like centrifuges that can spin out phosphorus and turn it into a resale commodity, which sounds pretty exciting to me.
That would be spinning what
straw into gold.
There you go. Exactly. Thank you. We're going to go to the phone here. I'm sorry, John. In South Burlington, we have Ben. Good morning, Ben. How are you today?
Yes. Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear. Go ahead.
Yes, I believe that Peter Shumlin's budget cuts are deplorable, like wanting to cut snowplow drivers and nurses' aides and stuff at the state hospital. And the 911 call center dispatch, I mean, have your listeners heard about that a trooper was trying to help a person and couldn't because of something to do with that? I'm not sure the exact situation, but it's going to affect public safety if those call centers are closed. And I believe that every single person in the state of Vermont probably believes they shouldn't be closed. So I think it's a horrible idea, and I encourage all Vermonters to get out to the State House rally this Saturday at noon at the State House because it's critical. So that they
okay.
shouldn't
let me,
be.
Let me, got it. Thank you, Ben. Let me have our guest comment. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Ben. And part of what I'd like to say is I've been very clear with VSEA officials that I don't think it's really appropriate to start the negotiations now on labor changes. I think there's a contract that's up next year, and if this wants to be a preliminary, that's fine. But we shouldn't go through a random riffing a situation again. It's got to be part of an overall plan, and there's plenty of people who are near retirement that we can calculate how to do this in a reasonable way where it's not laying off 350 people.
So you'd rather see like an early retirement program put into place?
I'd like to see all the options, and I don't want to try to do an early negotiation that goes against a contract that's in place.
All right. We're talking with Senator Dianne Snelling. I know you're on the committee that figures out how to appropriate, how to spend money. Give me your thoughts on how money should be raised. What are some of the tax proposals out there?
I love what Senator Ash has been doing and the way he thinks about the balance, because he's looking at ways to get predictable revenue, which ultimately should be a balance of taxes on goods and services, which will, what we've had is a problem with reduced income tax. But I think part of that is also getting the budget in balance. So if you have a fair tax policy, you have solid, predictable revenues, and then you're very disciplined about how you spend that money, and you don't spend in giant increases every year.
Okay. So, all right, I didn't really hear an answer, though. So this year, there's a need for more revenue, or not?
No, I think that part of the long-term plan is saying we will have to live within the bounds of X amount of revenue each year for part of this, so that you can start reducing your base of spending, and you know what you're raising money on, and you know when you might be able to adjust that downwards, which is somewhat like what happened in '90s when my dad was putting things in place, and he used a small increase on sales tax, I believe, and planned to sunset it after a number of years. And Howard Dean kept going, and that worked. But that was a different time. So I'm not suggesting that we do that specific thing. We use the same thinking, the same concept, which is you can't solve a problem of this size in 1 year. If you do, you're going to end up making really horrifying cuts.
Mm-hmm.
And my hope is it would give us a little bit more opportunity to, as you say, cut the things that really matter, reduce the spending in areas that really are cost drivers, and not try to pick around the edges of things that aren't.
Mm-hmm. Your dad actually, I think, came up with an income tax surcharge, not a sales tax surcharge.
Okay. Sorry.
So I'm just wondering what the short-term idea is to get to the next place you're talking about with what Senator Ash is talking about. I mean, trying to get the sales tax expansion in this year, I'm hearing, could be problematic. So how do you deal with, the short term, I guess, is what I'm really wondering.
I think it takes leadership. I mean, honestly, I do. I don't think there's a gimmick, as I was saying before. I think it's straightforward leadership and people talking about how do we do this. You know, if we made a decision we were only going to raise X amount of taxes this year as part of our total plan, then that means we have to reduce this much, and we have to plan on a different approach to the concept of a balanced budget every year.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Callis. Jerry, good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
This is Jerry in Callis.
Mm-hmm.
There's one thing that I keep thinking about is this current use program. Right now, anybody that has 25 acres of land can get into it. And why? I think they should be cut from it. Anybody, everybody up to 75 acres maybe should be able to be in that program. But I think that you would save quite a bit of money. I don't know how many people only have 25 acres up to 75. But I think that you should look at that, because I know a lot of people here in this town, they're all in it, 25 acres or 2 to 500 acres. And, these people deserve it, whether it's agriculture or forest. But,
Well, Jerry, I think it's a great idea.
One of my opinions, that's all. Bye.
All right, thank you, Jerry.
Jerry, I think it's a great idea, and believe me, people are looking very seriously at it. It's important to remember that the current use program is really about conserving the land and the forest, you know, the working landscape, and making it possible for that to be there. So in the past, many people have started to think it's about the person who owns the property. And I think some of that is making it very clear that if you're going to get that kind of tax credit, that you need to have some restriction about getting out of the program and then developing the land. And there's been an ongoing discussion and disagreement about that, what that process should be, which is a little discouraging because it is a lot of money.
Last question, is the Appropriations Committee at all adopting this idea, this sort of holistic approach that you're talking about, or is it sort of more of the crisis management reaction approach?
I think it's some of each, Mark, and as I say, I'm on a mission, if you will, to say we've got to be bold to make a difference. If we just do the same old thing, we're not going to get there, and we'll have a problem next year and the year after and the year after, and we'll be depleting our natural resources of the kind of individuals that we need in good government and the programs that really serve people's needs and move them out of poverty to better jobs and more self-reliance.
Thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Senator Diane Snelling, a Republican from Chittenden County. We'll take a short break. Back after this.
4393 is the height of Mount Mansfield, the very top of Vermont. And the 4393 Awards will honor the best of the best in the communities near Mount Mansfield, Waterbury, Stowe, Morrisville, and Jeffersonville.
It's simple to pick some categories. Best burger, best pizza, best craft beer.
Others require some thinking. Not just the best restaurant, but the best restaurant if someone else is paying.
Check out the 4393 Awards, sponsored by the Stowe Reporter and Waterbury Record.
Just visit stowetoday.com or waterburyrecord.com and look for the 4393 Awards. Have fun.
The Vermont Bed Store knows that having a mattress you love to sleep on is important. After all, the average person spends nearly a third of their life in bed. That's why the Vermont Bed Store is proud to offer you the best selection and diversity of mattresses and furnishings in town. Our hardwood, cherry, and maple furniture offers you fine Vermont craftsmanship and country-inspired style, customized so you can create the bedroom of your dreams and avoid a price that gives you nightmares. Our high-quality memory foam mattresses respond to your body for personalized comfort, and our popular Ergo Via mattress is one of the most comfortable in the shop. It's crafted using sustainable practices and certified organics with 100% latex. The Ergo Via is guaranteed for comfort and durability for 20 years, and you can only get it at the Vermont Bed Store. Come visit the Vermont Bed Store at 4050 Williston Road. If one third of your life is spent in bed, let's make it the best third.
It's no secret, Mejuron Supermarket is a great place to shop. I'm Tom Mejuron. For over seven decades, Mejuron's has been catering to the needs of the Mad River Valley and beyond. We have custom-cut meats, fresh produce and seafood, regular and organic grocery, locally produced foods galore, topped off by an extraordinary wine and beer department and a state liquor agency. Shop Mejuron Supermarket, Village Square Shopping Center, Waitsfield.
Governor Shumlin coming on the program at about 10:10 this morning, for those of you curious about that. And later next hour, we'll talk with Senator Anthony Polina. Let me remind you about our good friends at Green Mountain Access. If you're looking for an outstanding local internet service provider, make it our friends at gmavt.net. Don't you want to have an email address that ends with gmavt.net? I do. You can have one, too. You can't have mine. It's Mark, M-A-R-K, at gmavt.net. You're always welcome to email me, pro, con, anywhere in between. And we encourage you to sign up for their services. They really are an outstanding local company, and they can make everything happen for you really with one phone call. It is that easy. And you can reach them at 1-888-321-0815. That's 1-888-321-0815 on the web at gmavt.net. vt.net. A couple of other reminders for you. If you are ever looking for past programs like our interviews at the Colby Military Writers Symposium that we had on Wednesday, you can always catch those on our podcast, and you can get to that through our program website at markjohnsonshow.com. Head over to the right-hand side there. That's where you'll get more podcasts than you could possibly listen to in a weekend. I know you're going to spend probably a lot of it watching golf. Oh, you could catch the Ann Liguori interview that we had yesterday that kind of set up the whole Masters. All right, that's going to wrap things up for hour number one. We're going to actually skip our White House report today. Coming up next, we'll talk with Representative Kurt Wright, then Governor Shumlin joins us, and then Senator Polina. This is FM 96.1 WDEV Warren, broadcasting from the top of Sugar Bush, and AM 550 WDEV Waterbury Montpelier. News is right now. AP.